I have a theory that the rise of coffee has grown in tandem with the rise of tech, but we're going to get to that later. First, join me and WNYC's business editor, Charlie Herman, at a brand new coffee education center in Lower Manhattan, the Counterculture Training Center.
I'm so psyched to drink some coffee right now, to be honest.
There we met food writer Oliver Strand to try out some new ways of making coffee and to try and understand just why some people care so darn much about how a cup of coffee gets made.
All right, so we're entering Blondwood Central with some nice clean tiles. It's extremely laboratory-like, and yes, there are bags of coffee. Is that Oliver over there? Hey, Oliver.
Hi, it's very nice to meet you.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Our show is called New Tech City.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we wanted to talk about coffee?
Because you wanted an excuse to play around with coffee. That's in part my guess.
All right, so Oliver gets us. Let's just start there. But why else?
I think because there's a not unreasonable assumption that there is technology at play in coffee because coffee seems to be changing, improving, morphing, evolving, which it is. And so the assumption would be that technology is playing a role in that, as it does in many other things. And I think there's also an appeal to use an overused term in the disruptive nature of this moment in coffee. I'm very excited to use that term.
What's disruptive now in coffee?
Well, that a lot of the techniques that are in places like this, you can call it third wave, you can call it specialty coffee, the techniques are relatively new. So the AeroPress, I think it dates to 2006. It was invented by this guy, Alan Adler, who is a former lecturer at Stanford University. He invented the Arobi flying disc. In other words, he's not from the coffee world. He's not from the world of gastronomy. He's not from the world of food manufacturing. And he came up with this very ugly way to make coffee that's really, really good and delicious. A lot of the methods are like that. They're counterintuitive. They're coming from unexpected places. The kind of new technology is this over here in the front, the Mod Bar, which are those spigots there on the left and then on the right. And so this is an espresso machine, but normally an espresso machine is a big cabinet on top of the counter, you know, or on the back bar. And instead, most of the works are now under the counter.
It looks like a beer tap.
A beer tap, yeah. A faucet of a really nice kitchen. Mm-hmm. So this is new. There are only about 20 of these in the U.S.
To me, this rise of interest in coffee seems, and this is just a hypothesis, seems to correlate mm-hmm. with the rise of tech centers. Like, the more you see startups and techies gather, mm-hmm. the more high-end coffee shops you start to see. Who used to drink coffee? People who worked in hospitals, people who worked in the army, people who were up a lot and trying to, like, do a lot. And now, this is, you know, I'm just going out there with this. Mm-hmm. Now it's the techies who are, like, burning the midnight oil, mm-hmm. and nobody smokes anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't drink, because then you won't be able to code or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So coffee makes total sense. You can geek out on it. It's relatively affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also social, which a lot of these people don't get.
Is there a connection between technology and coffee? Yeah, it's there. It's more personal, I think, than anything larger than that or thematic. I've been to the Google campus. I was invited by one of the first engineers at Google just to visit. And they all were really into coffee because they could quantify it. It was data. They could look at the weight in and they could look at the extraction. They could look at the time. They could look at the grind size. They absolutely loved that. They all had notebooks where they're just writing down all of the inputs and they're judging what comes out on the other end and they're adjusting what they do in order to arrive at flavors that make them happy. So there's this kind of basic appeal, I guess, if you're in technology, and that's that there's information, data, and you can quantify it, process it, and change what you do in order to come up with coffee that you feel tastes better.
Oh, hey, my name's Tommy. I work for Counterculture here in New York. And we're going to make some coffee. So this is a natural processed coffee from Ethiopia, and its name is Banco Gotiti. When people talk about processing coffee, like, coffee's a fruit. It's the seed inside of a piece of fruit. I just heated up some water. I heard you say that you like your coffee super hot.
Can I ask you something? Are there any milk or sugar products in this building?
Milk. We don't have any sugar. I want water and dry coffee to hang out for about 4 minutes.
It looks like a big, warm lava mound that's kind of bubbling up.
They call that the bloom.
Those are sexy, gurgling, dripping noises.
Let's drink coffee.
How's your coffee?
Hot.
All right.
One of the most basic things you can do to, like, make your coffee world much better is to buy a digital scale for $10 or $15. And that's how much they cost. In the coffee world, everything is measured by weight and measured in grams. So you measure the coffee by grams, and you also measure the liquid by grams. And this sounds really dorky and off-putting.
In European.
It is so much more exact than to work by cups and scoops, and it's also so much easier to follow. You're just watching numbers change. You're not having to go and measure a thing. So, like, what is a scoop? A scoop is nothing. A scoop, it doesn't exist.
But as you're talking, there sounds like an element of defensiveness, too, about coffee.
Oh, no, it's pure aggression. I'm not defensive. Like, I know this is right, and I really want for everybody to come around to this.
Picking up on what Charlie said about sensing aggression, this has to be the only hobby that makes you agitated.
Oh, no.
Potentially.
Extreme fighting. Just biking in New York.
Oh, well, that's true, actually. I thought we were going to, like, the dark side of coffee.
But to go back to the idea of not wanting to overcomplicate your morning, but if you can find some moment of beauty, some moment of bliss, then why not do it? You know, I think it's to treat yourself to that moment. I think it's also because there's so much more available now that simply wasn't here 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. This didn't exist. The products available now, the toys available now, the expertise available now have completely transformed this end of the coffee world. So I think part of the reason why people are doing it is because it's available. This is new. This is actually new. It's quantitatively better than it was 5 years ago, and it's a world apart than what was here 15 years ago.
All right, so go get them, you early adopters. That was me, food writer Oliver Strand, Counterculture's coffee technologist Tommy Gallagher, and WNYC's business editor Charlie Herman. And needless to say, all four of us were pretty pumped up for the rest of the day. Now, I mentioned earlier, I have this theory that the rise of tech startups correlates to the rise of fancy coffee shops. And we've mapped out where New York's artisanal coffee shops, co-working spaces, and tech companies are. So you can go to our website, newtechcity.org, and see where they overlap, cluster together, and plan your visit accordingly.